Gentlemen, it's Friday afternoon. We've got a full tank of gas.
It's Friday!
Thank goodness it's Friday. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Friday! Don't you just love Fridays?
Since Such and Pat are taking off now, Friday afternoons after 3, we've decided to turn this thing into a Friday fill-in fun fest. Joining the crew for a little sports and a lot of laughs. Here's your drive time MC, Kurt Copeland.
What? What? They actually had something put together with my name?
We're a top-notch operation around here, Curtis.
Holy Toledo, the pressure's really on now. They got official with this. Well, my oh my. Kurt Copeland, glad to be on Twin Cities Airwaves.
Welcome back to town, son.
Yes, Chris Reavers, this was awesome. What a treat.
And sorry, I got to turn on these headphones. The mayor's got this thing blasted. I thought I was deaf. Holy cow. So what's going on, Kurt? Welcome back to town. You are a noted Twin Cities radio personality. You've been all over the place.
I have swum in this sea of airwaves before, and it's good to be back. 10 hours of driving was worth it.
So St. Louis, you currently live in St. Louis now, but you've been on multiple stations down there. But you were on top 40 stations here in town. I've worked with you. So Rook is here too. Rook is at part of the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. Rook, Kurt Copeland, Rook. I know you guys have met before.
Yes.
So here's how life just kind of goes full circle.
Yeah.
All right. So Kurt and I, we've known each other for years. So I was born in Faribault.
I was born there.
Kurt was born in Faribault, grew up in Owatonna. Mm-hmm. We didn't really know each other until
we started working
together across town at that other place.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, so it was just kind of, you met later on in life.
But then it was all of a sudden,
you know that guy. I went to high school with that guy.
Right.
I went to high school with that guy. And it was so odd. And this happens, I think, in many people's lives where you meet someone and we should have been friends a lot sooner.
Right.
But that's just the way the cookie crumbled.
And even though the GM is not here today, Kurt and I both worked for the same GM here that we did over there. And he likes to make the joke that, you're from Owatonna to me all the time, thinking that it's funny because, Faribault and Owatonna, those are two cities that don't like each other much.
That's right. it should be noted, and I think the statute of limitations has long expired, so I'm out of the woods on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm pretty sure you know this story, but when I was a senior, what year did you graduate?
96.
Okay, so I graduated in 97, and I drove the car the night that me and the guys went up there and poured a nice blue and silver O on your 50-yard line. There.
Oh, that was you guys.
Falcons Field. Yeah, that was us.
See,
big, big, long-standing rival. It's Rook, so you're a Creighton-Durham Hall.
Creighton grad.
Well, Creighton.
Yeah. But CDH, yeah.
But the big rival would be what?
At the time, it was the Academy. St. Thomas Academy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's basically the same thing. The Faribault-Owatonna rivalry, the Creighton-St. Thomas
Well, I would like to think that the Creighton grads and the St. Thomas grads are a little more sophisticated than just drawing donuts on the 50-yard line. You know, it's something a little more, and that's maybe very rural, I guess, is what that
I mean,
is.
Literally, buckets of paint were walked out to the 50-yard line, and then you just started slowly pouring them out, walking that big circle to put an O in our colors on y'all's field.
And here's what's going to make this story even better, because this is so Uncle Rico of us right now, but who cares? So I remember, this was the year after I graduated, because Kurt's a year younger than I am, and I remember the talk was, we're going to get them on Friday. We're going to
show the them. Yeah.
Owatonna edged Faribault 51-0.
I believe.
Insult to injury. It was pretty funny.
Go so. O-Town.
Anyway, so that's enough of our high school lives. But
Then we get to radio. We get into the radio business. And we meet each other over at Butler Square. They're not a stone's throw from Target Field.
Oh, man.
Working other radio stations. And it's like, wow, we really should have known each other, a long time ago. But now here we are and remain great friends. And
isn't it funny too, because I have this conversation with people off the air quite often, how did you get into radio, how do you get into radio, things like that. But when you work with people, radio is the biggest little town ever. Everybody knows everybody in every market. Think of how many friends that you have that either work in different parts of the country or even in this market, whatever. Radio is that industry where this is just what you do, and these are the people you're going to be working with forever.
There's a lot of interesting things that come with it. And to your point, I can travel around the country, and the odds are pretty good. There's a couch I can crash on somewhere.
Right.
San Diego? Yeah, Joe, what's going on? I'm coming by, So the friends, you work with them. They go other places, so that's kind of nice. You have a friend in some other town. Say, for here, for example, but this is home. I mean, this is where we're originally from. So it's a little different. But you walk through the hallways of this building. people that you and I had worked with
right.
other places years ago. So, you know, the chance to touch base with people, catch up, you know, and say hi, it's kind of cool.
And this is why I'm always nice to Rook, because Rook's been here for, what, 25 years?
27.
27 yep. years. Rook knows where all the bones are buried, so I'm nice to Rook all the time. Because when you're here forever, think of how many different people you've worked with just in this building.
I've seen a lot come and go, but I've seen many that are still here when I started, and that's a credit to, I mean, you know,
the Hubbard
kiss
family.
Up the ownership
oh, yeah.
here, but
100%.
When people come to work here, a lot of them just stay, and there's more than probably 25 people that I've known when I started here 27 years ago that are still working here downstairs.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Wonderful.
It's a great place. Plus, hey. If you keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, you can have a nice long radio career.
But a lot of people in this business have that problem. They don't keep their head down and they don't keep their
mouth
shut.
And those are the people that have not maintained right. their employment over the last 27 years.
Yeah. I tried to keep my head down, but you know, sometimes even
no,
when you
have
you
a
do
problem
that.
With keeping your mouth shut. That's your problem. Which is a good quality to have when
I
you're
guess,
in this
yeah,
business.
I guess, yeah, if you're going to be in this business, yeah. for sure.
Anyway, so you made the long drive. That's and
I did. We
I've
talked
made
about this
drive 100 times, going down to visit you and go to Cardinals games and whatnot. And for me, Rook always makes fun. I loved a road trip. I absolutely love it, especially, honestly, I like doing it alone. You get to listen to whatever music you want. You can take as much time as you want. You just get to think, whatever.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. But I can get to your place in St. Louis from my driveway in almost exactly 8 hours. And so you made that trip, what? You left last night and you got here this morning.
Yeah, it was actually kind of weird. I've been, you know, since I've moved to St. Louis in July of 2005, so I would make the trip at least once a year driving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I would fly,
sure.
but for Christmas, because I would spend at least a full week up here and it would usually be snowing, I would rent an SUV
yep.
and just drive up here. So usually would do it at Christmas time. But what had never happened in 10 years of making this trip at various times through the year, I had never stopped and just said, too tired, you know, or there was this winter storm and I'm mm-hmm. going to get a hotel room and just finish the trip. But last night that happened. I took off after working, you know, all
right.
day yesterday. And I thought I could make it. You know, I thought I could get to Owatonna. You know, I told mm-hmm. my dad, I'll be there probably late, 2:30, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be there, you know. And Cedar Rapids, I just ran out of gas, you know. And so I said, you know what? It's not worth it.
No, no,
get
it
a hotel
is
room
not.
And crash for a little bit, and then headed up here.
Yeah. Awesome. So, welcome aboard. It's gonna be a fun 3 hours having you here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, because holiday weekends,
yeah.
it's great. Here's why I love working on days like today. I was telling this, nobody's here. These are the days where you do not take vacation because there's nobody in the building right now. The traffic is better. It's awesome.
Two words: skeleton crew.
Yes. As the mayor always likes to say, we're light on personnel yeah. around the old building today.
You can get a good parking spot.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the lot here.
That's
today.
Great. It's like the week between Christmas and New Year's. I love working that week.
I don't know. I'm
traffic
never here.
Is awesome. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I'm never working
Hello.
That week.
Exactly. Anyway, yes. so you know what? We've got an awesome show lined up here today, too, for you guys.
Jess Myers.
Hockey half hour.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to talk him into sticking around for half an hour because there's so much puck to discuss with Jess Myers.
And we realized,
oh no, I want to rush out and get on 35W and start heading north at 2 miles an hour
yeah,
with everybody pulling a boat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Exactly.
So.
I remember that. I remember that well. I'm looking forward to talking. Hey, we got Stanley Cup Finals to talk about, and a rather exciting Game 7 too. Yeah.
Awesome. It is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest.
It is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest, and yours truly, Kurt Copeland, glad to be hanging out with Reavers. And we got to talk some hockey. Jess Myers is with us. Pleasure to meet
well,
you,
first,
sir.
First, when I hear California Love, is Kenley Jansen coming in? Is that what's
is
happening?
Is that his intro song?
That's his intro song.
That's
oh,
cool.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to switch to baseball there. Kurt, nice to meet you as well.
And we are from neighboring communities?
Sort of. My dad's from Waseca. You're from Owatonna. Uh-huh. You know, good rivalry there. I'm from the North Country, which is
the 507 is getting a lot of love on the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest
well,
right
I'll do my best to represent the 218 from what I can do. St. Louis kind of in the news lately, Steve Ott. How about that? The guy that everybody hates for the St. Louis Blues is now one of their assistant coaches. And my dumb joke is we've got Mike Yeo and Steve Ott. So I think we're going for an all three-letter last name coaching staff. Like Patrick Waugh is available, and Bobby Orr. I think we can get him in there.
That'd be cool.
And that'll be the way we go there. I ran into Mike Yeo, as a matter of fact, last week. He's back in town. His son is graduating from high school soon here in the Twin Cities, and said he's going to send or hopefully spend part of his summer here. Big fisherman, and you know, kind of still basking in the glow of that first round series when he managed to take
how
out.
How big was the grin?
Oh, you know, he's a low key guy.
Sure.
And I will say this.
And by the way, I don't think any Wild fan can fault him for taking glee in the fact that he knocked this team out of the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I was pulling for Mike Yeo.
That was one of the storylines that I loved. I mean, as a Blues fan,
right.
And you know, for me, it's kind of a weird thing because coming from Minnesota, I never lost the love and respect for what hockey means here in the state of.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to St. Louis and I just end up going to more Blues games than I ever did up here as a casual Wild fan. And I became a more proper hockey fan. Some friends down there, some very knowledgeable hockey fans, you know, finally gave me the education that unfortunately, surprised to say this, but yeah, never really got here in Minnesota because I just didn't have the passion.
Right.
And so I get down there and some friends, you know, talked about this and talked about that. And I become a Blues fan, thus becoming a bigger hockey fan. And so people always ask me, like, well, you know, when it comes down to the Blues and Wild going at it, I just say, hey, listen, may the best team win. I love the Blues. I have a lot of respect for Minnesota and all the fans here in the Wild.
Two great playoff series between these teams in the last 3 years, too. And when you look at what Yeo did this year with that lineup, you know, taking over on February 1st and coaxing a series win out of them, you know, fantastic job by him. And he's, I think, secured himself down there for a little while.
Did he hire Sedor, too? Did I see this week?
I believe he is talking to Sedor. I don't know if that's for sure yet. The other big question now, okay, since we're talking NHL coaches, we've still got two jobs open. Now, I noted this on Twitter today. Karen Housley, Senator Karen Housley, mm-hmm. who represents you know, some of the eastern suburbs, her husband Phil is an assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. So
he's got the Sabres job, right?
Well, you would think that, but the other job that's still open is the Florida Panthers, and now they are apparently quite serious about talking to him. You know, there's a reason those two jobs are still open when everything else has been filled. That means there's somebody they have in mind who is still coaching that they can't talk to yet.
Sure.
Now, the Sabres job would be the obvious one. He started his career there. He made a name for himself there.
He's a god in Buffalo.
You know, they love him there. I wonder if Terry Pegula has scared some people off with the way he's run that team and with the way, you know, his quick trigger finger, not only with the Sabres, but with the Bills as well. The fact that, you know, folks seem to be run in and out of there pretty quickly. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But I thought this was funny. Senator Housley, during a break in the action yesterday, had all of the members of the Minnesota State Senate out on the front steps, all wearing Predators t-shirts, and sent this great group photo of the Minnesota State Senate all in their Predators gear to Nashville to wish Phil luck. So my joke was, so in 2 weeks, are they taking a new picture with all Sabres shirts, or what, what's the thought there?
Is this why we had to have 3 days of a special session?
I don't we're taking think team that, photos? But they did take plenty of recesses, and this was one recess activity. Yeah. Well, they were there.
Where do you think, I mean, because obviously Housley is a great guy. He's from here. Everybody, I think, is rooting for him. I think, don't you think the Buffalo job is the better job of the two?
I think that's probably the better job of the
because
two.
Of
obviously,
Eichel?
Obviously, you know, Eichel, a young team, a lot of promise on that club, you know, even guys like Evander Kane, if he gets healthy, you know, what he can contribute to that lineup. What interests me, too, is that, you know, Buffalo is a hockey market. People are passionate about the game there. You know, people who haven't been to Buffalo, it's an amazing place. They play O Canada before every Buffalo Sabres home game, no matter who they're playing, because something like 40 to 50% of their season ticket holders are Canadians who buy tickets and come across the border because they're that passionate about hockey. Florida is South Florida. I mean, it just, you know, it's a place where if your team is winning, they catch on. But most nights you're going to be playing in front of, you know, 9,000 to 11,000 people. It's just not a place where there's a deep-seated hockey passion yet.
And I thought you had this nugget, too, that in that market for the Stanley Cup, either the playoffs or the finals, I forget which, it's outside of the two cities that are involved. They're like the third market.
Twin Cities and Buffalo are the two places you look to to see what your true ratings are, because that's where the fan passion is. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whenever Florida comes up, that the first thing, it doesn't matter what the topic is, but Florida comes up, I think of Randy Moeller. Is he still
I think Randy's still there.
The voice of the Panthers.
The voice of the Panthers, you know, longtime NHL veteran, played forever. And he is, you know, he's one of those guys too that does it by himself. He doesn't have a color analyst. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on the air, you know, doing everything.
And when you say doing everything, I don't know if you get the chance, you know, when you're listening to things on the internet or whatever, you go to YouTube and you type in the video Randy Moeller goal calls. And I don't know, maybe it was by virtue of them being, you know, having to kind of build that fan base at one time or another. It was decided either by himself or others that a little showmanship.
He was given a little bit of leeway to play with it a little bit. Yeah.
And you know about this?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Can I give you an example? Like a Bomeister from the far side. He shoots. He scores. Pour some sugar on me.
No, I do know what you're talking about. I think Manny grabbed clips of this guy a while back. And because we're obsessed with the Pittsburgh guy, too. He's always got a weird catchphrase for every Kyle Lego. But now I do remember what you're talking about.
Pay that man his money.
I have a question for you, Jess Myers, which is good because we're filling time on a radio show. But is there, because analytics now is all the rage in every sport. So I'm wondering, you know, I don't follow hockey nearly as close as you do, but is there a stat for the coverage of the ice for a defenseman? And the reason I ask that, you know, like war in baseball or whatever, is there a stat in which this guy's zone rating or whatever?
In soccer, you see the stat about how many miles these guys travel in an average soccer game. Yeah, I don't know that stat exists. Okay. There's, you know, time on ice is a big thing.
And, sure.
You know, Ryan Suter hovers around, you know, 30 minutes a game or something like that, although his numbers were down a little bit this year. But as far as area covered, that's a fascinating stat. Because
the reason I asked that is because when I was watching the game last night, which was a fabulous game 7,
Oh my goodness.
Carlson from Ottawa, the defenseman. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, right?
Absolutely.
I cannot believe how much of the ice that guy covers. It's amazing.
Never leaves the ice.
No.
And he's everywhere.
Right. I'm wondering if that's tracked. I guess that's why that's what led me to that question.
So, I haven't seen that stat, you know, and
but God, is he a good player.
Like you said, you know, goes to two overtimes. I mean, all you can hope for, back and forth hockey, you know. Here's the key stat that I come away with after last night. And, you know, Chris Kunitz with a great goal. They win it in the second overtime. Pittsburgh going back to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Canadian team is out. Okay, now, it was last year or 2 years ago, we didn't have a Canadian team in the playoffs.
Right.
This is a big deal in Canada because it's, you know, I know technically it's not their national sport. Lacrosse is the national sport of Canada.
What?
Good bar trivia.
Learn
for
something
you.
New every day.
Lacrosse is the national sport of Canada, not hockey. But in any case, so starting next season, it will be 25 years since the Stanley Cup has spent the summer in Canada.
Wow.
Think about that.
Me.
The 1993 Montreal Canadiens.
Wow.
The last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, that just blows me away. And granted, they don't have as many teams as we have in the United States. But, you know, when you think about some of the franchises there, when you think about that 2011 Vancouver Canucks team that seemed like destiny was on their side, and they go into a game 7 and manage to lose to the Boston Bruins, which nobody saw coming. I mean, it just amazes me. And Ottawa kind of captured the attention of the Canadian hockey fan this year, not only because they're a Canadian team, but just a plucky team. You talk about, you know, a good, solid defenseman kind of leading the show. Craig Anderson, their goalie, who's actually a kid from the Chicago area, whose wife is battling cancer. He took some time off this year. Just, you know, a great kind of Cinderella story, you know, backstopping them the way he had and, you know, getting just enough offense to do what they could. And that was a fun team. And, you know, too bad to see it run, that run end. But Pittsburgh is really good.
And I think the NHL probably wanted Pittsburgh in the final.
For ratings, you don't think Nashville, Ottawa would have pulled in the numbers that NBC was looking for?
You know what, though? I do think Nashville is kind of everybody's kind of intrigued by, you know, this recent phenomenon that's become the Predators. I think a lot of people are pulling for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they got all the country music on their side, too. I mean, they got all these, you know, celebrities. They got all these superstars.
This is the great drama in Nashville, is to see who's going to do the national anthem before every game. And they've done this great job of, you know, it being a surprise. And all of a sudden, they'll just ask, okay, here's Luke Bryan coming out to do the national anthem, or here's Kelly Clarkson or whatever. It's fun.
All right, well, we're going to step aside here for a quick moment. The Friday Feelin' Fun Fest will be back.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio, a lot to see the sunrise.
Friday Feelin' Fun Fest. Glad to have you aboard, and we wish you and yours the very best on this Memorial Day weekend. And of course, we remember what it's all about. And, of course, they allude to that in that great song from the Zac Brown Band. Good to have Mr. Jess Myers with us. We're talking hockey, and I want to jump right into that Game 7 last night for you. Maybe a bit of ranking as far as where that goes in other Game 7s in hockey and otherwise.
Well, great game because it was a lot of action, but it didn't go too long. You know, early in the second overtime is perfect. Right. You know, by the time you get to the fifth overtime, nobody's got anything left in the tank. Now, if you're the Nashville Predators, you're watching that game, you're hoping they're still playing now because you want those guys as worn out as possible no matter who you're going to face. But, you know, and Guy Boucher, the coach of the Senators, who was with Tampa previously, he took Tampa to the conference finals, you know, maybe 5 years ago. Here's the problem. He loves that brand of hockey that's a throwback to 20 years ago when nothing ever happened. You just clog up the ice as much as you can. Now, when you've got what he's got facing what Pittsburgh has, that's how you have to play. And this is what fascinates me about the Stanley Cup Finals. You've got Peter Laviolette. And by the way, a little side note for you USA Hockey fans, first time ever we have a Stanley Cup Finals with two American coaches, you know, Peter Laviolette for the Predators and Mike Sullivan for the Penguins. First time ever. That just amazes me in more than 100 years
first
of the Stanley
Cup. First time
ever?
Really?
Yeah. Two Americans behind the bench.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's never happened before.
That's fantastic. So
USA.
Good little note there. If you're Peter Laviolette thinking about how you're going to attack Pittsburgh, it's like... This dumbfounds me because, okay, we got to slow down Crosby. We got to find a way to stop Crosby. Okay, great. We figured that out. We can stop Crosby. Oh, well, now we have to stop Malkin, you know, Evgeny Malkin. Okay, well, not sure how we can do that, but we'll find a way. Okay, and then we have to stop Kessel. And then we have to stop Jake Guentzel. And it's like Pittsburgh throws so many weapons at you. I mean, this is just... You know, a lot of people don't like Crosby. A lot of people don't like Pittsburgh because they're frankly tired of him. It's one of these deals where, okay, you got Mario Lemieux. That's how you built your first dynasty. You had that one handed to you. Then you had Sidney Crosby handed to you and you built your second dynasty that way. But when you look at what this team does and what they can do with players like a Matt Cullen, who, you know, 2-3 years ago, remember, he was jettisoned by the Minnesota Wild because he was washed up. He didn't have anything left in the tank. He goes to Pittsburgh, rejuvenates himself. He brings the Stanley Cup here last summer. He could very well bring it here again this summer. I look at a guy like Jake Guentzel, who's a, you know, a Hill Murray kid. He's from here. You know, great player in college. Nobody knew he would have this kind of an impact as a professional, but he just fits. And again, you know, put him on a line with Sidney Crosby, and there's so much you can do. So this Pittsburgh team is scary good.
Yeah. Now we go into this. I ask you, if Pittsburgh wins it, if Nashville wins it, what will the keys be?
Well, if Nashville wins it, the key has got to be goaltending. And they're getting, you know, they're getting great defense, which they need because this Predators team is beat up. You know, Mike Fisher is a possibility that he might be able to play. Craig Smith is out. He's been out since the Blues series. Ryan Johansson, who's one of their, you know, was one of their top line centers, is on crutches, you know, accepting the conference championship trophy. Kevin Fiala had that gruesome leg injury a couple rounds ago. He's done. So, you know, and granted, by this point in the season, nobody's totally healthy.
Right, exactly.
But you know, so the Preds have got to keep getting great goaltending from Pekka Rinne. That's how they were able to take out Chicago in round one, which I think shocked everybody. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And they've got to do it at home. And I mean, this is just a fun atmosphere. We alluded to it a little bit, but you know, Nashville's a place where, you know, the Titans have been to one Super Bowl. Beyond that, they've gotten, you know, not much as far as pro sports. All of a sudden, it's a hockey town. You know, it's a place where they love to have fun anyway. You know, the country music atmosphere and all the bars around the arena and the Grand Ole Opry and all that. But here's the interesting thing about Nashville. Keep in mind about 20, 30 years ago when the auto manufacturers in Detroit started moving people down to work in plants in Tennessee. You remember Saturn was there and a lot of
this?
That's
right.
A lot of folks from Michigan pulled up and moved to Tennessee. A lot of kids who had played hockey in Michigan all of a sudden wound up living in the Nashville area. So
there's a lot of transplants
people,
that are people
hockey say, people. You know, yeah. Why would you put a hockey team in Tennessee? Well, they had a built-in fan base right away. The only time they don't cheer for the Predators is when the Red Wings come to town. That's the only difference. But there is some real hockey passion and some real hockey background in this market that people don't really expect.
And you talk about the Red Wings, of course, so the last to repeat back-to-back, I forget the exact seasons, but now Pittsburgh.
97-98, so almost 20 years. Yeah.
And now Pittsburgh, you know, trying to get in that history book again.
And this is the thing, you know, you got to kind of like the Predators, kind of the sentimental team. They've never been there before. And, you know, I tweeted this, but on July 4th, 2012, when Ryan Suter, despite all the efforts of the Predators to keep him there, decides, no, I'm going to go to Minnesota. And it looked like Nashville was a place everybody was abandoning. was there a person on the planet that would have said, yeah, the Predators are going to make the Stanley Cup Finals before the Minnesota Wild, who just added Ryan Suter and Zach Parise?
I mean, that's just a good point.
Amazing the way they've rebuilt it. In fact, one of the great jokes I saw so far is Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and Seth Jones all go into a bar to watch the Predators play in the Stanley Cup Finals on TV. I mean, you know, three of the top defensemen in the league who have been in Nashville in the last 5 years and are not there anymore, and still David Poile, the GM, has been able to rebuild this team into just...
So, obviously, the Shea Weber trade was a home run for these guys getting P.K. Subban. I mean, is in retrospect now, is Montreal just being laughed at for making that deal?
You know, Montreal fans hated it at the time. Now they hate it even worse. And, and Montreal wasn't a bad team this year. You know, they did some stuff in the playoffs, and, you know...
And Shea Weber had a good year, too, didn't he?
Shea Weber had a really good year.
Yeah.
But you know, P.K. Subban is a great player.
Yep.
As an African-American, he has appealed to, you know, fans in the South, which has been a huge thing there, as, you know, as they bring more of a growing fan base there. And, you know, has just done great things for them on a team that, like I say, has had a bunch of injuries and, you know, is going to need a lot of contributions from a guy like him if they're going to make some noise here. Now, they've got great defense as well as him. You know, Roman Josi is there, and, you know, guys like Ryan Ellis have contributed. But, you know, just a fun story all around.
Are they built for long-term success, or is this a team that's going to... I mean, is this their chance?
They're young.
Oh, they are.
And that helps.
Okay.
You know, and I guess, again, not to make it all about Pittsburgh, but that's what's so scary about them is they've got the stalwarts like Malkin and Kessel and Crosby, but they've got a lot of young talent that Pittsburgh has put around those guys. You know, Connor Sheary, a guy who played at UMass Amherst, you know, who nobody ever heard of in college.
Gensel.
You know, undrafted free agents. Yeah. You know, these guys that they've managed to plug in there. You know, we already talked about Cullen, a guy that supposedly was washed up, that they've made a nice solid fourth line guy there. Now, I hearken back to last year. San Jose makes the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time. There's all this excitement. Hey, you know, we're going to bring the cup to the Bay Area. They got into the finals against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh found another gear that I didn't know they had and just was all over the
Sharks.
Well,
San Jose looked like they were standing still.
Right. Yeah. Anytime they touched the puck, they had two guys on him. It was just crazy. So my fear is that Pittsburgh just, you know, has their way and does that to the Predators again, and we don't have an exciting series, but I'm really looking forward to that game three. The first time the cup final comes to Nashville and, you know, a sold out crowd and, you know, goodness knows if we're going to get Conway Twitty out to sing the national anthem.
But think
anthem
about that too, though, Jess, because think of how much the narrative has changed just in a couple of weeks from when Crosby got hurt against the Capitals and everybody thought, oh my God, the Penguins are done. And now they're probably going to win the cup again.
Right.
And that was just two, 3 weeks ago, whatever that was.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And
how
Crosby
much that's
has
changed.
Crosby has a great way of looking really hurt and then coming back about two games.
Are you
later.
One of those guys? You like to rip Sid the Kid?
I'm not a Crosby fan.
Why?
I mean, he is an incredible talent, but you know, when you go and complain to the officials...
Like, you're like Skip Bayless right now trying to rip LeBron James.
Listen,
that's what you're doing.
When you complain to the officials that fans are throwing hats on the ice after a hat trick and it's delaying the game, I'm sorry, you don't get hockey, pal.
He did that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he complained after a game that, you know...
I just lost points with Reavers now.
I didn't know that.
Incredible talent. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But no, just have never been a fan.
Well, I think what bugged me so much about his injury was that it, to me, looked just like a cheap shot. And I didn't want, and it ultimately did not, but I didn't want a series like that to be decided by a cheap shot move.
Keep in mind, that hit was delivered by a Northern Minnesota guy who played at UMD, so I think you know where I stand on that one, too.
You know, but okay, take that part of it out. You didn't think that it was a cheap shot.
I thought it was a penalty. I didn't think it warranted being kicked out of the game for the simple fact that Niskanen had his stick up, you know, at this level. Crosby was falling down. And, you know,
it was
worthy of a high sticking penalty. I don't think it was worthy of being tossed out of the game and all of that.
Got it. Has nothing to do with the fact he's from Northern Minnesota.
And I'm glad that Crosby's okay and that he's able to play again.
You're a hockey purist too. You wouldn't have wanted a series to be decided that way.
Now, keep in mind, the Penguins are dealing with some injuries too. You know, they lost Chris Letang early. They got, you know, Tom Kunackle is possible, probable. Patrick Hornquist is possible, probable. So they're not fully healthy either. I mean, when you get, you know, 15, 16 games into the playoffs, nobody's healthy anymore.
Sure.
I mean, it's a matter of who can deal with the most injuries. You know, the one I always love from a couple of years ago, Patrice Bergeron from the Bruins, after the playoff series is over, admits he was playing on a broken ankle and with a punctured lung.
Jeez,
and he's still going out there. So, you know, this is the NHL playoffs for you.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Jess.
Have a great weekend, guys. Craig, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, sir. Have a great one.
Awesome. We'll be back. We've got a lot more to get to here in the 3 o'clock hour. This is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest.
Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. Are we having fun? I am.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, what's funny is you always tell people radio time is different than normal time.
In what way?
It just flies by.
It definitely does. Yeah. I've told guests that I've had on the air, you know, they're going to say, oh, gosh, I don't know about this. You know, first-time people that have never been on the air before, they're very nervous, don't know if they can cut it. And I say, I'm going to tell you right now, this thing will be over before you know
it. Well, and that's what I tell the people that come on the beer show, because they're generally people that have never done radio before. They're, you know, home brewers, or they're, you know, guys that run breweries and whatnot, and they're excited, but they're nervous at the same time. I said, it's just, we're just going to have a conversation. The only difference is there's going to be a microphone in front of your face.
So and don't, you can't swear.
And you can't swear. Thank you. Yeah. I do make a point to always mention that part of it, too.
I would say to my guests, go ahead, get it out of your system now.
Right. In the green room and have a couple cold ones. Then you can come in here and get your...
go on a tirade. Right. Get it out of your system, and then we'll be good and clean and decent on the airway.
Absolutely.
Did they get the guy?
I haven't...
check that news.
I'm going to check
heck of
right
a story.
Now.
An inmate being transported from a Minnesota correctional facility up in St. Cloud, where I spent a hot minute, to the prison in Lino Lakes. He hijacked a white transport van full of other prisoners, escaped this morning.
This is a movie.
Yeah. Well, it's very similar. I think you guys alluded to it earlier. It has shades of Con Air.
Yes.
You know, and so the escape occurred just before 11 a.m., 9 have now been taken into custody. We're checking to see if that last one...
He's still on the loose. And apparently, too, the Minneapolis Police Department has been involved. They're suspecting that he's somewhere in the neighborhood of North Minneapolis. So best of luck to you, Manny Hill, later today when you head home.
Yeah.
Well, they're asking the folks, you know, unless you live there, you know, please don't, so they can, the authorities can go about their business.
Rookie did ask an interesting question when I read the story during GL today, though. He said... What if you're the guy in the van that, hey, I know I'm good. I don't want to flee. I just want to sit here and serve out my time and be free. I don't want to add another 25 years to my sentence already.
Now, from what I understand, some of these guys were handcuffed in this transport vehicle. So I'm wondering, you know, imagine yourself in there. This guy, you know, commandeers the vehicle, takes off. You're handcuffed to your seat or whatever, right? You're secured. You can't get up and jump out of the vehicle and remove yourself from the situation and wait for the authorities to, you know, reapprehend you, so to speak. You're locked in. You can't go anywhere.
A resident, so the Minneapolis Police Department said a resident called 911 to report a van with three inmates inside, according to police. The driver then took off on foot. This afternoon, Minneapolis Police Department tweeted, the search area has been cleared. No credible info that the suspect is still in the area. MPD and DOC officers continue to search and follow up on leads. We will continue to post updates on social media as they become available. That's the latest of what we know so far.
The one still at large is 26-year-old James Douglas Mitchell, serving prison for felony assault, said Sarah Fitzgerald, a spokeswoman for the Department of Corrections. Mitchell was last seen wearing standard prison garb, blue jeans, a white T-shirt, and a blue button-down shirt. Minneapolis Police Department searching for him. And what I love this story is that 911 call that you mentioned, a resident of the neighborhood, apparently, from what I hear, you know, comes upon the vehicle, like, okay, assesses the situation. This is what this is.
Right.
Gets on the phone, 911, you know, hello, here's the situation. I'm just going to stand here, just kind of keep an eye on him.
Well, and you wonder, too, everybody, hindsight is always 20/20, but you wonder if you were in that situation. You know, how would you react? What would you do? Because I know for a fact, if it was me, I would have two different reactions based upon if I was by myself or if I had my boys with me.
Of course.
I had my boys with me, I ain't sticking around. And, you know, I might call 911, but I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're by yourself, you'd like to think you'd do the same thing. Because this guy, that's tremendous courage to stand there, call, and then basically tell the police, I'll just wait till you guys get here. Like, okay, wow, that's bravery right there.
What if he sends them an invoice?
Oh, yeah.
Services rendered.
Exactly. Hey, I worked for you guys for 2 hours. I'm gonna get paid for this.
What's the rate?
Right.
Part time.
Either that or I never want a speeding ticket ever again.
Right. I get the little gold card or something.
I get out of jail free card for the rest of my life.
I get the free pass. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back with more to get you into this Memorial Day weekend. It's the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest.
And very quickly, when we come back, I've got some breaking Twins related news.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
When we come back.
Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight?
the rich kid picks his nose.
Oh my God.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Oh, that's a fun scene.
Loggins,
I can't
really
believe that's what I should have thought of that. That's a great observation, Kurt Copeland.
How about Loggins, Kenny, just dialing it in with the movie soundtracks?
Oh yeah.
You know, if you break it down, Top Gun, right?
Yes.
Highway to the Danger Zone. He had that one, and there's another great one that just, you know how it is.
He does? He knows where his bread is buttered. He is no fool. We call that mailbox money, son. That's what we call that.
It is a pleasure and a half to be with you. My name is Kurt Copeland, no stranger to Twin Cities Airwaves. Just good to be doing this guest spot today. Reaver said, hey, got to have you on Friday afternoon. We bring people in.
Let's do this.
And this is fun and a half. So it's the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. We're getting into this Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, we remember those who gave their lives in defense of our freedom.
All right, I've been sitting at the edge of my seat, Manny Hill. What's your breaking Twins item?
This just broke about 10 minutes ago from our friend Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Double-A Chattanooga right-hander Nick Birdie, of course, one of the Twins' top pitching prospects.
They're calling him up.
He appears headed for Tommy John surgery after suffering a tear in his UCL. He last pitched on Sunday at Biloxi, where he worked his seventh scoreless outing of the month. He had lowered his season ERA to 0.5.
Promising, hard-throwing right-hander.
Very
that's not good. In fact, that's their third guy. Trevor May blew out his elbow in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other guy? I know there's a third guy that's now going under Tommy John. I don't know, Patrick's going to call. Ravers, you're an idiot, blah, 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 blah. But that's too bad.
Tough news there.
And now, I mean, he's basically going to be shelved, obviously, for the rest of this year. But having it, you know, this late or this far into the season.
You're looking at probably missing part of next year, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. So
I mean, it just seems such a prerequisite thing. You just might as well. I'm surprised go ahead and get it anyway.
You know, Royce had that theory a couple of years ago. Just go, when you draft the kid, go have him have the Tommy John surgery right now. And I forget, somebody had offered up a reason why that's not a good idea.
Well, obviously it's not. But the way, you know, when you look at it, it's such a natural reaction. I mean, mm-hmm. it just seems like every pitcher, sooner or later in this day and age, and obviously guys threw their arms out before in the history of baseball. But you know that conversation that comes up about things, certain conditions, medical conditions that, well, we never used to hear about that kind of thing before.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like somebody said, and I'm not saying that peanut allergies are not real. I am not saying that peanut allergies.
That guy's got one.
Okay, so you've got one.
I do have one, yep.
And it's just one of those things where I've asked the question, I'm like, I don't recall hearing about this years ago, but all of a sudden it became like a very real thing, and it obviously always was.
You're right.
It just never got the kind of attention.
And a lot of times people just don't. They assume if somebody has a reaction, it's just, oh, it's just something that, you know, kind of pass.
That's the hard thing with my favorite sport is there's, you know, you just don't know. With as important a position as pitching is, it's the lifeblood of your organization. And to be at the mercy of these kids and their young elbows, their young arms, that's what it's too bad that so much of this game relies on that one really important facet of the human body. But that's the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm. No peanuts for you.
Yeah. No, yep. Don't. He'll die because
no
we need
peanuts.
Him. Don't kill him until 6.
Stick around for a while.
Right. Awesome. Fun first hour, Kurt Copeland.
Absolutely. And lots more coming up. And in fact, later in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm looking excited to talk to Cardinals broadcaster Ricky Horton. That'll be fun. More coming up. I need you so.